League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Now delighted to have on the line Jamie Joyce from New York. Good afternoon, Jamie. How are you?
Great, Dave. How are you?
Yeah, great to have you on. Have you ever been tempted to move to California? A lot of people want to move to California, don't they?
It's a very popular place. Great weather. So, but I'm quite happy with the seasons in New York City.
Yeah, that's.
I like to visit, but yeah.
I miss the seasons because here in Malaga, it's very similar climate to California. It's you don't really get the seasons. You don't get the changing of colors on the trees. So I think I've missed that. But I think I'd like to, there's an old Frank Sinatra song called Autumn in New York, and it kind of sets you the scene. I'd love to be in New York at autumn, or any time of the year, to be honest. But I've still got to come and see you, so.
Absolutely.
Right, well, tell us about Family Connection then, and this, in particular, this, I think it's Camp Suzanne, is that right?
That's correct, yep. I wrote a story recently. This is a story that I did with the support of the Pulitzer Center on Crisis Reporting,
right,
which is a terrific journalism organization here in the States supporting international stories. But we wanted to do a project that was just focusing on a domestic issue, and that is the issue of mass incarceration. And we wanted to do something that was specifically looking at kids and writing for kids who are affected by this problem.
Yeah.
So back in the summer, this was back in July, I went to travel out to the San Francisco Bay Area and visited a camp called Camp Suzanne. And this is a program that's run by a center in Los Angeles called the Center for Restorative Justice Works. And this brings kids about ages 8 to 14 to visit their moms who are in prison at the Federal Correctional Institution in Dublin, California. And it's just an incredible opportunity for these kids because so many kids whose parents are incarcerated just don't have the opportunities to visit on a regular basis. And here's a program that provides them a week of visits. And it's just a really powerful program.
It must be so emotional, Jamie, to see that take place. You know, for the I don't know how I'd handle it being there watching these children who aren't able to be with their parents in this way.
It's tough. You know, there are 2.7 million children in the United States who have a parent in jail or in prison. That's, I think the numbers are like one in every 28 kids who are affected by this. And I have to say, when I started doing this reporting, I was worried about that, you know, how this would be emotionally difficult for the kids. And of course, when you're reporting these stories, it's emotional. But the overwhelming sense that I came back with also, joy was a big piece of this because the kids and families are so happy to have this time together. But it's tough for sure.
Is this, I mean, we hear from a European perspective that America has the highest rate of incarcerated people in the world. I think I might be wrong in saying that, but you may be able to correct me. And this is one of the offshoots of it, isn't it? And you know, I'm not saying that these people don't deserve to be punished for what they've done.
Sure,
but,
sure.
We forget about the families a lot of the time.
Absolutely, and I think that's an underreported piece of this crisis is that so many children are affected. And of course, the kids, you know, they're serving the sentence along with their parents in many ways, and the families serve this sentence alongside their parents in so many ways. And one of the tough pieces is that visitation is really hard. You know, actually, many of the prisons are located very far from communities, so actually getting to the prisons to visit is really tough for a lot of families, and that decreases the, you know, probability that families will visit loved ones who are incarcerated. But we know that there's a positive effect on visits, not only on the children, but also on the inmates. You know, it really does. It creates a positive environment, and studies have shown that rates of recidivism are reduced when you're allowed to have those connections with family members, and it also helps with the environment in the institutions with discipline issues and sort of morale. So I think it's something that benefits all parties for sure.
Was it difficult for them to say goodbye to their parents once they spent a bit of time with them?
It was really hard. You know, I write in this story, and this ran in Time Edge, which is Time Magazine's edition for young people. I write in the story that the week was pretty joyful. You know, kids were really enjoying their time, their time with their moms. But the last day was really tough. I was traveling back and forth with the kids, back and forth between the prison and the university where they were staying. And that last day that we traveled there, you know, usually they were playing, they were joking around, playing games on their phones, listening to music, but it was just silent. And it really said a lot about the emotions that were happening that day.
What happens generally, Jamie, to these children when they've got a parent in prison? Are they generally looked after by other family members? I mean, I think in the UK maybe they go to, if there's not enough family to look after them, they'll go to a foster parent or something like that.
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, typically what we're seeing is that most children are in the care of a family member. Maybe that's a mother, maybe that's another relative, a grandparent is often the case. There are some children who are going into foster care, but those numbers are lower.
And with the group that you were with, were the mums going to be in prison for a long time? Was there any kind of like looking forward to maybe a few years down the line where they can be reunited again?
Absolutely. I mean, this particular facility was a low security facility. And so a lot of times the sentences aren't terribly long, but in the life of a child, you know, a 5-year sentence, 6-7 years, maybe a 10-year sentence is a long time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say it's difficult to get your head around it, isn't it, as a child, how that's going to affect that child for the rest of their lives, and how these people and the work that they're doing is just so invaluable.
Yeah, it really, the work that's being done by the Center for Restorative Justice Works in California and other organizations throughout the United States to really reunite families is admirable. I mean, we need more of it. There's an effort going on right now in New York, where I live, led by an organization called the Osborne Association, and they're working on, you know, this entire month of October is an effort called See Us, Support Us, and this is also a nationwide effort.
Yeah.
And that focus is on visitation and really looking at the rights of children and families to have some, you know, to at least be within a reasonable distance so that visits can be possible. In New York alone, you know, most prisons are about 100 miles from a person's home community. So imagine how tough that is, you know, every weekend when visitation is open to actually get to the facilities. It's rough.
Did you find your trail of thought kind of mixed when you met some of these people? Because you think, best will in the world, these people have made some mistakes that have caused families to be torn apart in many situations. You know, you could say, well, should you have sympathy for them? Because obviously they've broken the law and they're being punished for it. And some would say, you know, that's the consequences of your misdemeanor. I'm being a bit harsh. I'm playing devil's advocate with you.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a question that comes up. I mean, I will say that this was a two-part reporting trip that I did. Earlier in the summer, I was actually in Folsom Prison in the Bay Area. And that was an opportunity. At this visit, I was able to meet with a lot of the mothers and fathers who are incarcerated.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're the first ones to tell you, look, I broke the law. I'm serving my time. I should be here, you know, I'm serving my sentence.
Yeah.
I'm doing my time. But I think that, you know, if we look at the bigger picture, the fact that, you know, the kids didn't do anything wrong, and if we can, and we look at the bigger picture and longer down the road, if we want to break the cycle and really create, you know, give families a sense of wholeness and create success when people ultimately do leave prison, you know, to be able to reunite with their families and set them up for success. I mean, that's the whole point, right, of rehabilitation, incarceration, is to give people a second chance and send them back out into society as whole beings. And so, you know, by having that time during their incarceration to connect with their families really impacts them positively, and it benefits all of us.
Just as I'm listening to you, I've got my kind of British hat on, comparing the way it may work in the UK, and obviously we've got a lot to learn as well. But it just sounds like there's, without these charities, Jamie, there'd been a dire situation, whereas in the UK, the government tends to take a bit of responsibility. Social services-wise would look after children if there was nowhere else to go. And is there any government help at all, or are the government kind of saying, you know what, you made your bed, sort of thing?
You know, I think... I can't speak right now to specific government programs, but I can say that there are definitely wardens at these prisons, and they're part of the system, and there are many wardens who absolutely see the value in these kinds of programs and encourage them. So on that level, I get, you know, to answer your question, are there government agencies? Well, yes, there are. There's definitely, you know, in California, the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation is looking to have more programs like this and to partner with more agencies that are providing these kinds of opportunities for kids, because they know the value. They know that it impacts the situation in their facilities, and they know that it helps the inmates ultimately to return to their communities.
Yeah. What I love about you, Jamie, is you cover some amazing topics. The Rohingya people, of course, we were talking about a while ago in Africa, and now we're talking about this great program that's taking place in the San Francisco area. And then we actually originally met because we were talking about whiskey, of course.
Yeah.
So it's amazing. Are you finding that this is kind of the area which you feel this is the place that you want to highlight these kind of things that are happening in people's lives?
You know, it's funny because, as you said, when we first met and we were talking about a very different kind of project, and this was a book about whiskey, but, moonshine, and now we're talking about some real social issues. But I will say, you know, in that book, Moonshine, you know, the piece, it's sort of this pop culture piece, but there's also real issues about social justice and about law and about government and sort of government response to moonshine whiskey being something that poor people were cooking up. So I think there's an interesting connection between these pieces, as it might not seem obvious at first, but it's there.
Is politics in the moment in America, is it one of those that you just don't talk about it because you just don't want to get into it? I mean, it's a bit like Brexit in the UK at the moment. You just don't want to talk about it because you don't know what the other person's view is, and it's so kind of polarized.
It's very tough right now, and you know, but I think it is important that people do talk about it, and people are so vocal, and many people have so many different perspectives on the political climate here in the US right now, and it's more important than ever that we talk about these issues and discuss things and come to solutions and improve people's lives.
So what are you going to work on next? Have you got any ideas what you're up to?
Gosh, I've got a few things in the works, but I'm not quite ready to discuss them, Dave.
All right, okay. All right. It's only me.
It's only you and everybody else.
Thousands listening. I've been invited by a friend to go to Nashville, Memphis. Sorry, I always get those two places mixed up. She lives in Memphis, and so I'm just got to work out how much it's going to cost me to get the family over. But if we come to New York, where are you going to take us?
Oh, gosh, Dave, I'll take you wherever you want to go, but I'm a very good tour guide, and as I've told you before, and I will put together an itinerary for you and the family, so we'll have a great time.
Are you vegetarian?
No.
Oh, it's okay. I think we'll get on okay.
Are you?
No, I want you to take me to a steakhouse. I want a proper American steak.
We can do that.
Yeah.
We can absolutely do that. There's some great historic steakhouses here in New York City. I think you'll have a lot of fun.
I was watching a documentary it's on YouTube, actually, it's free, and it's all about famous roads in America. And I was reading watching this documentary, and it's about the road that really goes right through the center of Manhattan. I can't remember the name of it now. And it's been
Is it a famous what that goes
famous,
through
the famous road. Famous.
Broadway.
Yeah, and Broadway is the one they were talking about. And it goes back to when New York was New Amsterdam.
And the
history is amazing. I love it. So I've got. So yes. you need to teach me all that when we come over. Definitely.
Sure thing. You got it.
And what's the best? Do you get a chance to see a show in Broadway? Do you actually really make the most of living in New York, or are you one of these people that doesn't do much and lives in the great city?
No, I try to get out as much as I can. It is a fantastic city, and there's so many things that you can do for free, too.
Yeah.
It's not just, Broadway shows are fantastic,
yeah.
and I highly recommend it because the theaters are so small. They feel very intimate, which is great for a theater fan. But, just the art galleries in Chelsea and, all of those are free, so you can see world-class art and really cutting-edge pieces and incredible work without paying a dime. It's great.
Well,
so much to do and see here.
We would, of course, return the favor, so we'd take you to the Alhambra in Granada, which is an old Arabic building, which is fantastic, and a place called Cordoba, which got loads and loads of history from the Moors, and Seville and Malaga, and loads of great places down here. The history everywhere, Jamie. You would love it.
Dave, I've never been, and I am going to take you up on that. One
Absolutely.
Day, this is going to happen.
Jamie, thank you. If anybody wants to find you online, how can they do that?
You can find me at jamiejoyce.com. It's jamiejoyce.com.
Lovely. Thank you, Jamie. We'll speak again soon.
Yeah, thank you.
Take care.
All right, take care, Dave.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.